Today on Real Radio.
And something Ruth saw in Naomi's life she wanted. Because all of a sudden, all the veneer is stripped away. You see, Ruth is young and productive in her own land. She can do fine where she's at. But something godly is at work. And you and I ought to ask the question in our own lives, what is it?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Ruth. We're in chapter 1, where we're looking at verses 16 through 22. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Steps That Lead to Salvation.
And a voice comes out of heaven and says, Saul, what are you doing fighting against me for? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Duh. Who are you, Lord? That's like, mother, is that you? Yeah. Paul knew immediately, or Saul knew immediately it was Jesus. And he says, you're fighting against me. Oh no, I'm after those hypocrites, the people that go to church, they call themselves of the way or Christians. Jesus says, no, you're attacking me. Isn't that something? Christians aren't perfect. No, that's true, but our God is. You see. And that's the God that we want to invite you to. Verse 16, it says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. The first point of our message is this, regarding the steps to conversion, is that her soul was turned toward God. Watch this. When she says to Naomi, entreat me not, the word is a great, great word. Of course, these are Hebrew words, okay? So our Bible's in English. They didn't speak English. They spoke Hebrew, and this is what that word means when she says, entreat me not. She says, listen, don't cry for me. Argentina, Bethlehem, or Naomi, anybody else. She says, don't cry for me. Now watch this. Ruth, who's a Gentile, Naomi turns to her and says, don't come. I'm going back home to Bethlehem. Don't come. You stay home. You stay in your country. Because why? Rabbis believe that she was somewhere between 18 to 25 years of age. She's young. Stay here and get a husband. She told her that last week. Stay in your own country and get a husband. I'm going back to Bethlehem. It's been 10 years. I'm going back home. Ruth turns with all respect. Watch this. You got to know the culture. Ruth is not scolding Naomi for making her stay home. Ruth, though, basically puts her hand on her hip. And she takes her little young finger and says, entreat me not. Don't pray for me to leave you. Don't cut me loose. Don't cry for me to say goodbye. Don't weep over me about leaving, because the fact is, I'm not leaving. That's what's in Ruth's heart. I am not leaving. The text of the scripture begs the fact that Ruth is submitted to Naomi's command, and that's a wonderful thing. Naomi could have said, listen here, I've lost my husband, my two sons. One of them happened to have been your husband. You listen to me. You stay home. You're not going to come with me. Besides, I don't want the traveling company. I want to be in my grief all the way back home. But she didn't do that. She says, don't make me, look, two things. Don't make me leave you, and don't make me turn back from following you. The word leave here means to cut loose, like a little dinghy from a boat or from the dock, a little boat, cut it loose. Don't cut me loose. And the word to turn back means don't bid me any final farewells. And I like that. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, you know the story. The disciples were all there. In fact, Jesus is talking to them about the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that brings a person to conversion. And all the disciples are there, and he says, I'm going to give you my body, which is the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And Jesus said, unless you eat my body. Now, some people tragically think that if you eat bread, that you're going to live forever, that that's salvation. That is not what Jesus taught, nor does the scripture say this. He says, if you eat my body, the word in the Greek in New Testament is present tense. If you're eating my body, nobody was eating him. Nobody was chewing on his thumb. He's speaking in spirit. In fact, he goes on to say in John chapter 6, this word that I have spoken to you is spirit. It has spiritual meaning. And if you eat the bread, which is my body, which I offer to you now, you will have everlasting life. And then it says, many of the disciples of Jesus Christ, John chapter 6, verse 66, were grieved at his statement, and they turned and they walked out on Christ. They left him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, are you guys going to go away too? And what did fisherman Peter say? He said, Lord, we believe that you're the Christ. He says, where do we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. I'm going to drop the axe right down the middle of this sanctuary right now and let the chips fall where they may. The fact of the matter is, some of you who are Christians and you're for real, you love God and yeah, you fail, but the fact is you love him. In your heart right now is what's in Ruth's heart because you've been converted. You say, where do I go? I mean, I try, you know, where do I go? You alone, God, have the words of everlasting life. Jesus, interestingly enough, said that if you eat the life I give you, you'll never be hungry again. The Christians, struggling or not, in Moab or in Judah, the land of praise, doesn't matter, backslidden or walking right with God, the Christian says, I have no other place to go but to God Almighty. There's no other place. I get satisfaction nowhere else. You know what I'm talking about? And if you don't know, and you've been a Christian and playing games and just being, you know, what the world calls us as game players and hypocrites, you don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. You're born in America. I must be a Christian. It's wrong. God says, uh-uh. The word Christian means to follow Jesus. And a lot of people who say they're Christians don't even know what Jesus has said. Have you been converted? That is, has your mind been changed? Ruth's mind is being changed. She's being converted. How do you know? Watch this. Look at the middle of verse 16, which leads us to our second point of the study, and that is she made a commitment. This is no little slothful thing. Listen to this. It's radical. This is one of the most beautiful portions of the Bible, too. Listen, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there where you're buried, I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts us. And that's it. This is the statement, this is the bylaws, this is the operating principle of a Christian. So before you jump up and raise your hand and come running forward to the altar and say, I want to be a Christian, you know what? Listen to this. For wherever you go, Jesus, I'll go. Wherever you live, Jesus, I'll live. Your people, Jesus, will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, Jesus, I'll die. Where does Jesus tell us to die every day? On the cross, doesn't he? He says, pick up the cross every day and die to your selfish and my selfish demands. If you love me, No, Jesus says, pick up your cross, die. The Christian who knows this and is living this can state these verses, Lord, wherever you go, I'll go. In John's gospel, Jesus was preaching. And can you imagine seeing Jesus? Wouldn't it have been great to be back 2,000 years ago and actually see him? And somebody came running up to Jesus and said, Lord, he's got the title right, I'll follow you anywhere you go. Now, if you were Jesus, wouldn't you have said, Peter, Andrew, get Judas over here too. He's got the money bag, right? Yeah, get Judas. Sign this guy up. Little jingling of change in the pocket. Oh, no. Jesus exercised perfect negative church growth tactics. He said, what are you doing wanting to follow me for? I don't even have a place to lay my head. Birds have nests and foxes have holes in the earth. I don't even have a rock to put my head on. You want to follow me? In other words, he's saying, count the cost. You want to be a Christian? Then follow me. You mean I got to go to church twice a year? Forget church. It's you and Jesus. She says, her converted heart makes the commitment, wherever you go, Naomi, I'm going to go. This is a Gentile talking to a Jew. And in our culture, it's like really no big deal. But think of some anti-Semitic cultures today. Where Jews and Gentiles wouldn't speak. I've been in Israel when a Jew wouldn't even look at us or me. I remember asking a Hasidic Jew for the time, and he acted like I had like the plague. It was really weird. Stood back at a distance and told me like I had the plague. It's kind of a weird thing. I would have, just because he was Jewish, I would have run up and given him a hug because it was like, we're in Israel, cool. Hi, you're a real Jew. Can I touch you? Don't touch me. Like in Nicodemus's day, they pull in the robes real tight. Don't touch me. Don't defile me. I'm holy and you're not. I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile. Hey, Naomi could have said, wait a minute. I know you were married to my son, but the fact is, you're a Gentile. She would have said, you're a Gentile. Go away from me. I'll have nothing to do with you. She didn't say that. And Ruth got her little hand on her hip with her little finger. She's saying, listen, your people will be my people. Where you go, I'm going to go. She saw something in the life of Naomi, who had been stripped of everything they had, lost it all. There was no welfare program to her to tap into. Lost it all. And something Ruth saw in Naomi's life, she wanted. Because all of a sudden, all the veneer is stripped away. You see, Ruth is young and productive in her own land. She can do fine where she's at. But something godly is at work. And you and I ought to ask the question in our own lives, what is it? I got fired. Oh, there's a famine. 10 years they had been away from their homeland. Whatever your situation is, I really don't care. Whatever it is, whatever my thing is, you've got to pick it up and put it right in the middle between the eyes of our God and realize that's where it's at. Well, I don't see it. That's because you can't see it. And I can't see it, but he can see it. You know, there are people in this church that have lost their jobs, had to put their house up for sale. They pull up in the back to get food at night with a Cadillac with a for sale sign in it. They're not like hanging on to all of their little gems and still getting help from the church. They're having to give it all away or sell it off. But they're not giving up. You know, a lot of things test our character. Or I should say, put our character to the test by what's offered to us. What will cause me, or what will cause you, to cave in on Christ? What, I guess, you know, the world puts it this way, everyone's got their price. Some of you who are in sales, you know how that works. There is a place where that person that you're dealing with, they cannot budge. They'll go down, and they can't go any lower than this price. The point is to get to that price, isn't it? So you walk up, you're going to buy something, you're going to sell something. The fact of the matter is, you say, look, we're grown-ups. I know where you're coming from. Let's cut to the chase. What do you need to get? Oh, it's not going to be that easy. And you'll haggle back and forth, and you'll wrestle. You got the guy pinned down on the hood of the cart. But you know, and they know, you've got to come to some point of an agreement here. People are losing things, and like Naomi, you could say, God's hand is against me, he's judging me, he's destroying me. Now, Naomi doesn't say that, by the way, but listen, I hear people say it. As long as that money is flowing in, those six figures annually are cranking on in, everything's fine. But let something touch it. And how is your character adjusted? What does your attitude go to? People who have suffered are often the most wonderful people to be around, and they're certainly the most gentle. The point of confession or conversion brought confession when she says this in verse 16, your God will be my God. That's it. You can circle that with your Bible. Confirmed. We got target hit. Your God will be my God. She's confessed. Ruth confessed to the commitment of receiving into her life the Hebrew God, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh. We pronounce him in our Gentile tongue, Jehovah. They would never say such things in their Hebrew language. Yahweh. She's converted. So how do we know? And what should we expect? She says this, verse 17. Where you die, I will die. That's a commitment. And here you go. And there will I be buried. Can you underline that? You're going to think I'm nuts, but hang on for a moment. Not only do we know that she's converted now, but guess what? She says, where you're buried, I'll be buried. Here's what's fun. The Moabites in the Gentile culture did not believe in burial. They believed in cremation. She is saying goodbye to her foreign gods and even the custom of her land. Listen carefully. Now, don't get all wiggy if you've cremated somebody. Like, oh no, are they like lost forever? No, no. Cremation does in, you know, 20, 30 minutes. What takes 20 or 30 years. It's not a religious thing. It's just that the Hebrews practice burial because they believed that you should bury the person that dies because God has given the precedence for that in the Old Testament. You bury them because there'll be a resurrection. And to the pagan world, they believe that when you burn somebody, and watch this, we're so funny, you scatter their ashes out of sight, out of mind. They're gone. So there's no existence after life. The Bible says the moment you and I die, the part behind our eyeballs, the part that sings or gets upset or loves or hates or whatever, it's not our tongue and our mouths and our head. Oh my gosh, look out! My hand hates you! It's going after your throat! Oh no! My hand is going to choke you! Somebody stop my hand! That hand's connected to the heart that can't stand you. That's the problem. Oh no, my lips, look, they're going out after you. They're like saying all kinds of gossip about you. Look, somebody stop them. There they go. It's not your lips. Your lips are connected to your mouth that out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. When you die, the Bible says you return back to dust. The pagan cultures believed when you died, lights out, nighty-night. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. That when you die, that's all there is, annihilation. The Bible says there's no annihilation. The Bible says every human being will live on forever, either in hell or in heaven, one or the other. Well, I don't like that kind of talk. This same Jesus says, you'll know my coming to earth because one of the ways is crime will be radically rampant. He called the word lawlessness, being without law a heart that's given to the law, against the law hearts, hearts that are rampant against the law, evil. He said people will have love and their love will grow cold and die. They'll give up. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's kind of general. Yeah, well, thank God for U.S. News and World Report, because they're the ones who said it. Thank God. U.S. News and World Report said that everybody, many people, they said, used to laugh at the Bible until Israel became a nation in one day, just like the Bible said they would. That's in the public papers. That same Bible also said that out of Bethlehem would be born a little baby boy from a virgin. Well, so what? That could have been a trick. Well, whoever this virgin was, you can trace her all the way back, her genealogical tree, all the way back to a girl called Ruth. You're looking at her right now in your Bible. And she's a Gentile. Don't tell me God doesn't love you. He's nuts about you. And she believed in resurrection. Wherever you're buried, I'll be buried. I've got the hope of everlasting life. That's what that verse means. I will live again. She's been converted. Verse 18, when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped talking about it. She gave up. Now the two of them, watch this, went until. Can you circle the word until in your Bible? Or underline it, highlight it, put stars around it, whatever. The word until means they continued on their path until the trip was completed. Christian, you ever wondered, will I make it? Am I ever going to make it? Depends on what day you ask me. Don't ask me on the day that I don't think I'm going to make it. Am I going to make it? No, we're not going to make it. We're all going to, you know. No, we'll make it because he is faithful. Jude 24 tells us, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his presence with joy. Can you imagine? We die. We've given our hearts to Christ. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Don't make me religious. Give me a relationship. I ask you to come into my life. If all this stuff that this nut's talking about is true, change my life. Can you ask him that at least? And be sincere about it and watch what happens. And then you get hit by a truck and you die. And you open your eyes in eternity and there's these gates. And there's this path, you know, there's this light and you're going there. And are you going to like tiptoe? And you're wondering, I remembered something about my name being written in the book. Oh, my name's written in the book. No. If your name is written in the book, something radical is going to happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the last seven verses of Ruth chapter 1. It's a presentation called The Steps That Lead to Salvation. Now, this is a brand new series we've begun recently here on Real Radio through the Book of Ruth, and on Monday we'll continue with more. If you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio, we'd like to hear from you. Why not take a minute and just drop us a quick letter or go online? It's easy to do so. Go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click the tab that reads Reaction if you'd like to see what others have written. And then send us a message letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your life. Our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.